Hey everybody, Nate here. Before the show, I just wanted to take a minute to talk about our sponsor, the Snack Nanny. The Snack Nanny is the latest, greatest spill-proof bowl. It's the first snack bowl for kids with a self-closing door. The Snack Nanny allows kids to snack freely without overeating, keeps kids entertained, and prevents them from creating a mess for mom and dad to clean up. Kids and parents love the Snack Nanny. It's easy to use, easy to clean, and includes portion control features that only the Snack Nanny offers. To order, go to www.snacknanny.com. or order from Amazon. Remember, you support our sponsors and they support us. Thanks, and Nihei Debiru. Chop Talk's back, baby. This is your host, Nate England. If you listen to the show on iTunes, please write a review and give us a 5-star rating. Also, be sure to check out the show's page on Facebook. I'd like to announce a major martial arts event happening in Cincinnati, Ohio on Saturday, November 7th. The Kosho School of Karate will host a seminar by 2014 Japanese national champion, Sensei Chosho Fukuhara. Sensei Fukuhara was my Jodo and Iaido instructor when I lived in Japan, and it's a huge honor to have him for a visit. He will also be bringing 6 members of the Meisui Kan Dojo in Naha, Okinawa, including Chop Talk guest Miwa Kanazawa. The seminar will focus on Jodo, the art of the short staff, but will also include sessions taught by Sensei David Hammond on Shuriru Karate and Miwa Kanazawa on Goju-ru Karate. And there will also be some additional instructors and sessions that we will announce in the next couple of weeks, so stay tuned. To find out more about this seminar, contact the Kosho School of Karate at 513-510-3844, email koshoschoolofkarate@gmail.com, or visit the event page on Facebook. It's been a busy couple of months with seminars, tournaments, and promotions here in Cincinnati and all around the Midwest. Last month, Sensei David Hammond and I visited Nashville, Tennessee to train at the dojo of karate legend James McLean. I flipped on the recorder for our post-workout discussion, and you'll also hear former Chop Talk guests Ezra Scott, Neil Stinson, and Richard Garrett in the background. At the beginning of the show, Mr. McLean talks about his time training and teaching in Chicago, and the infamous dojo wars of the late 1960s and early 1970s. He then goes on to talk about being the official roving representative for the United States Karate Association, and he compares notes with David Hammond about their tough early training. After the break, Neil Stinson brings out one of Mr. McLean's old photo albums, and he shares a few stories about the people and places in the photos. You can check out the images on the Chop Talk Facebook page. To find out more about James McLean's Kosho School of Karate in Nashville, Tennessee, visit www.koshokarate.wordpress.com or check out their page on Facebook. To find out more about Sensei David Hammond, the Kosho School of Karate in Cincinnati, Ohio, and the upcoming seminar with Sensei Chosho Fukuhara, visit www.koshoschoolofkarate.com, email koshoschoolofkarate@gmail.com, call 513-510-3844, or visit the school's page on Facebook. Thanks for listening, and enjoy the show.
Who the guys with the names that we know, like the Joe Lewis and the Wally Slokey and the
Slokey and
those guys.
Chuck Norris? Bruce
Chuck
Lee?
Chuck Norris and the...
Yeah, they were out in California.
Yeah.
Weren't some of those guys, I mean, you were before like Joe Lewis and Bill Wallace and all those guys.
Yeah.
So like where was the first tournament you ever fought in? Where was that at? I mean, was that in...
First tournament, let's see.
Jeez, was
we went to... We were really training really hard back then. I mean, hard, just... bare knuckle.
Yeah.
And since they took a... I forget how many it was. I don't know, 5 or 6 people. I was one of them and went up to Chicago. There's a guy named Richard Demers. Remember him?
I don't know.
But he got us up there, and then I won the tournament. We just walked right through him. We just and they asked, they said, what are you doing to them guys? What are you feeding them? You know, what's the deal going on? We're just animals. Yeah, we just whooped shit out of everybody up there.
Yeah. So was there school?
It was up at old Charlie Brown's dojo.
Okay.
99th and Western. Remember that?
No.
Yeah, I used to live in that school.
So were there a bunch of little schools up there then, or what?
Was
it a big school?
Charlie Brown, he was actually a black guy in this real rich Evergreen Park. Real rich area. But he owned the building there. And, oh, he had pool halls and all that kind of stuff. He was in all kinds of, you know,
yeah.
What he was in.
What about year was
and
that?
And John Keehan.
Oh, yeah.
Remember him?
Yeah.
That's Count Dante, right?
Count Dante, yeah. So I was living in a dojo, and John Keehan tried to burn the dojo up.
You were living in the dojo in Chicago or in Peoria?
In Chicago.
In Chicago. Okay.
Yeah, 99th and Western.
Okay. That's Charlie Brown's dojo.
Yeah.
Okay.
Charlie, he's a black guy. Yeah. And he had Tony Cerverbalis, you remember him?
Yeah.
Excellent judo guy. Fifth Pan American judo champion.
Wow.
And so I was a karate instructor and he was the judo instructor. And, John Keehan was trying to take over all the people to get behind, get under him. Okay. Count Dante called himself. And I wouldn't even go with him. He was sitting in the back with Master Keffel one day, and I was sitting in the front, somebody else sitting in the front. He said something to Master Keffel that pissed me off. I said, pull this car over, and I said, Keehan, get your ass out of here, and I'll beat the shit out of you. And since they got, you can ask Mr. Campbell, but.
Yeah.
And he says, calm down, calm down. And of course, I'm interested in what he's trying to calm me down for.
Yeah.
Is that why he tried to burn down the dojo when you were in it?
Yeah.
Was it revenge?
I don't know, I guess. Yeah, he tried to burn it down.
He didn't like it that you didn't. He wanted everybody to like. He wanted to be
well,
a leader.
He couldn't get control of me. He had all these other people there that was under him. He had that big old school, 99th. And, where was that place at? But it was a huge school. It's when Waka had it. That was a long time ago.
What year was that, you think? So you lived in
62 or something, maybe.
Yeah.
Is that what they called the dojo wars? And didn't another dojo get blown up? Windows broken? Did somebody die during
that? Keehan done all that stuff. He was trying to take over.
Hmm. Muscle everybody out.
Yeah.
Well, they went in and shot up somebody's dojo, didn't they?
Keehan and four or five of his students, they went over to this Chinese school or something like that. And so Keehan, he took his guys with him, and they walked in, and Keehan went to the office to talk to this other guy. And then that's when one guy got killed, shot or something.
I've read some things about it that the guy got stabbed with a sword.
Stabbed, that's what it was, yeah.
It was like a Chinese school of swordsmanship.
Mm-hmm.
And they went in there, he had the guys all jazzed up that they could beat anybody, and they could take they could fight a bunch of people with swords with their bare hands.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that sounds pretty cultish.
Yes.
With the changing of the name and getting almost Manson-esque.
Maybe not that bad, but pretty weird.
And so was it one of Count Dante's guys who was killed, or was it one of the Chinese guys?
One of Mr. Keehan's guys.
Yeah. That guy was crazy.
His name was
something with a K.
He was
I remember reading something about that interview that's on the USKK website, with the interview that's listed with Master Keppel.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about that, and he was pretty respectful, I think. You know, he was like, John's not alive, and I'm not going to sit here and run him down, but it was kind of out of line.
Who said that?
Master Keppel. said that in an interview.
Was that a line?
Just about all that stuff, and I think it talked about some of that stuff with the Dojo Wars and whatever else, and you know that the Charlie Brown school got burned down, and then somebody else got stabbed or shot or whatever it was at this other school, and you know, just all this crazy stuff.
Well, I was in there sleeping, and I guess they didn't know I was in there, and they just barely put towels in it and set it to fire.
Wow.
And I just happened to be there.
Wow. Happened to wake up, huh?
Yeah, I went and put it out.
Wow.
Sensei, the guy's name that died was Jim Koncevic, or Koncevic.
Koncevic. Jim Koncevic. So he, Koncevic was fighting all them guys with them swords.
Yeah.
Wow. He got stabbed one of them, I would have said. Yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
Crazy.
So that's John Keehan told all them guys that they could go in there and fight all these people with all these swords?
Something like that.
Black Dragon.
They could, but they didn't.
Yeah. Black Dragon.
Well, John's dad was a doctor there, and real wealthy. He came from a wealthy family. And Keon, he was just outlaw. He wanted to control, he wanted to be Al Capone, I guess.
Looking for a way to gain an edge on the competition? Want to give your body some much-needed relief and relaxation? Try Medical Resort ATEC, Okinawa's specialist in sports therapy and wellness care. ATEC offers customizable massage therapy. Try their oxygen chamber for increased metabolism and faster recovery from injuries. Or take their stretching course to improve flexibility. ATEC is used by professional athletes from the Ryukyu Golden Kings, FC Ryukyu, and Ryukyu Corazon. Stop into their center Monday through Saturday at 12830 Oroku in Naha City, Okinawa. Call 098-859-1890 or visit them on the web at www.sanso-atac.com. That's www.sanso-atac.com. Hey everyone, like the show? Enjoy hearing interviews with martial artists from around the world? Then share it with a friend, family member, co-worker, everyone at your dojo, your fellow karateka. You can find new episodes every Sunday at choptalk.podbean.com. That's choptalk.podbean.com. And don't forget to like the show on Facebook. Thanks. Remember, if you have an upcoming seminar, tournament, or other martial arts event, let us know, and we'd be happy to announce it on the program. And now, back to the show.
The Al Capone of Karate. Well, Master Keppel was opening a lot of karate schools at the same time, and not just around Peoria, but around the Midwest, I think.
That was way after.
That was
after. Yeah, that's after, because we're talking about that guy got killed in 1965, time period where we're talking about. So this is like, when Sensei was competing, Mr. Harrison, that's the generation that Sensei was as far as competitive, like Jim Harrison.
Jim Harrison and that one.
Yeah, so those guys were like the senior. They were senior to Mr., you know, like Joe Lewis or Chuck Norris.
Parker Shelton. Okay. All them guys. Yeah,
Mr. Shelton.
Well, that was a tough guy, Charles Shelton. He died of lung cancer.
Mr. Heyman told me a good story about Mr. Shelton the other night. About you guys being in the car and him being able to just recite off.
Oh, yeah. We were in Phoenix one time. We flew out there and we were going to a tournament up in Yuma, Arizona, or Superior. Because I went out there a couple times. I'm not sure which it was. And Master Trius was driving. I think he was driving a big Eldorado.
Oh, boy.
And he was in the front. Master Keppel was in the front. And Parker Shelton was in the front, and I was in the back with, I don't know, I can't remember. I think maybe Randy Holman and one of the other guys from Peoria. And Parker Shelton was talking about how he would fight everybody he knew in the ring. And he says, it's all about time in the ring. The more time you got in the ring, the better off you're going to do.
Oh, yeah.
But then he proceeded to say how he would fight this guy. He goes, I'd fight him left side forward,
you know, right hand high, watch out for a skip side kick. You could always hit him with this and hit him with that. And then somebody would ask him about somebody else. He'd go, well, I'd fight him this way, you know, left side forward. Right. That's here, and he had everybody figured out.
Yeah.
That's pretty interesting.
Oh, yeah. He's tough.
Yeah.
That takes a really specific type of intelligence to be able to do that, I think. To be like fighting people, but being like observing everything that they're doing. You know? Like, I don't know if everybody can even do that. You know? Like, I think that's kind of, you know, to be able to be in a situation like that, but you're like really able to like pick somebody apart intellectually that way, that's really.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Something else.
Yeah, most people are just jumping in there and firing away.
Well, yeah, you know, and might do pretty good. Yeah, and might do pretty good like that if you've developed a technique a lot where you've got a good technique, but to be able to, like, sit there and, you know, that's
yeah, get in there impressive. And size them up. Well, that's at the, I mean, point tournaments, you can actually kind of do that, you know.
Yeah, you can. I mean, hard, you know.
You know, where you're not, like, scared for your life that you think someone's going to kill you, you know. Real fights or, you know, more full contact stuff where you're, like, really afraid of getting knocked out. Less and less.
Mr. McClain, did you ever work out with Elvis? He was big into karate down here in Tennessee.
No, I never worked out with him.
How about, wasn't it Mike Stone that taught, was his teacher in the beginning or something?
Yeah, Mike Stone, he's a contemporary. He was in those early tournaments, wasn't he, Sensei?
Mike, yeah, Mike was tough.
Yep.
Mike Stone was really tough. He was the first world champion.
Yes.
Kickboxing, karate?
Karate.
Yeah.
Bare hand karate.
Now, how long were those matches back then?
3 minutes, I think.
Three. And could you, like, sweep, throw, anything, pretty much?
You had to score in so many seconds if you would, wasn't it?
If you threw them?
Yeah.
Could you actually do, like, a judo throw, or was it kind
of sweep?
Sweep.
Sotogari, you couldn't do any major over the heads, you know. Sayanagi or Murote Sayanagi, any of that stuff. But you kill somebody like that.
Yeah. How many points?
Hitting on the hardwood floor.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. It's too much.
Total points.
Total points in 3 minutes or whatever.
Something. Oh, okay. What were some of the early road trips you took? Because you were going around to try to get a lot of information out of people. Learning.
Yeah, I was going around teaching, supporting USK, and that's going out.
Uh-oh.
Some old place to teach. It wouldn't matter where it was. It's, you know, spread the art.
That, yes, there was a roving chief instructor for the USK.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Okay.
That's his official title, roving chief instructor. He would go all around promoting karate.
You know, I wasn't married or anything. I didn't have any commitments or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So I just travel around, pick up what I could from anybody I could. And wasn't a whole lot of people knew much.
So what did you find when you went to these places? It was just some guys that were doing punches and kicks and trying to cobble something together, or with the people that...
Some guy got out of service and, you know, got him a little club and was trying to teach. Mm-hmm.
Was there a lot of that back then? It seemed like...
Quite a bit.
It seemed like all the guys that are a generation before me came back from...
Yeah.
World War II or the military.
Yeah, military.
And they kind of ran the dojos. I don't know how much time they actually spent over there. Mm-hmm. But they came back and they started a dojo and they trained hard. And part of it might have been because of their karate training and part of it because of their military training,
yeah.
You know.
So you would kind of fill in gaps for some of those guys as far as their understanding of things. Like if they didn't know... Like about the etiquette in the dojo, like how to behave in karate and stuff like that, then you could tell them, like, this is how you, you know, bow, or this is what you call your sensei, and, you know, this is how you run classes and stuff, if some of them might not even really know what they were doing.
Yeah, well, I was representing USKA, and I'd go around, somebody'd have a little place maybe they would teach just in the park in the summertime or springtime or whatever the deal was. I'd go there and teach them and stuff like that.
I always loved that story when you went down to Mr. Keeney's school.
Yeah, you got to get Mr. Keeney to tell that one sometime. That's a really good story.
Well, what is it? I don't know.
He just said that Sensei just turned the whole thing around for him because it was just real loose and the guys were, you know, not really. They just didn't know how to behave in the dojo and he really didn't know how to enforce the rules and stuff. And
calling me Glenn and all
that. Yeah, calling him by his first name.
I took Mr. Keeney and I said, I can't do that.
Yeah.
I said, I know you know these guys and you went to school with them and all that. I said, but you got to be the sensei and all that. So that's what he done. Keeney's a very sharp guy, smart, pretty damn tough.
You fight him?
Well, yeah, we fought for him.
What'd you hit him with?
We just ran over, you know, get in there.
Okay.
Worked out a little bit. Yeah, he's pretty tough. I lived in his dojo for, I don't know, I went there and I ended up staying there for a long time. He brought me some clothes in. I went in there to, I don't know what I was doing. So I just moved into dojo and started to teach him and showing him how to get more members and that, you know, that kind of stuff. But he was tough guy.
So you're showing him a little bit of the business side.
Yeah. Call him the Fox. Yeah, the Fox. Would you remember when he was competing?
Yeah,
you did.
You got to see him compete?
Yeah.
Call him the Fox. Was you there when he got made Fred Wren? You remember Fred Wren?
I remember Fred Wren.
Fred Wren was like, he'd line up and he'd just straight through you. Tough. Was Texas boy.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Keeney, he was... Of course, they knew what Fred was going to try to do. He would line up, and Fred Wren would start doing this right here, and Mr. Keeney would be here. He'd take a step forward, you know.
Yeah.
And he kept doing that shit, and Fred kept coming in. But he'd do it right, just right before you'd step all the bounds. And he'd stop, and Fred... Got him really mad, got him upset, and that's what he wanted to do. And he got him upset, and Fred was coming after him, trying to get him, and Mr. Keeney stepped forward with that right foot, right inside the line, hit him with a back kick, and lifted him up. Spread him out. He didn't do that no more.
And Mr. Keegan could hit you with that back kick about 3 inches away from you. You could be 3 inches, you could be on his back, and he could still hit you with that back kick.
Yeah, you don't want to chase him. Well, you said you could beat.
Yeah.
Very good.
Mawari no hito ni sa wo sukete mimasen ka? あなたの体は休息を必要としていませんか? スポーツマッサージ健康のスペシャリスト Medical Resort ATAC を一度トライしてみてください。 ATAC ではお客様の体に合わせたマッサージを行います。また、ATAC の酸素室にもトライしてみてください。代謝向上、怪我の早期回復に効きます。柔軟性を高めるストレッチングコースにもトライしてみてください。ATAC はプロチーム Rukyu Golden Kings、FC Rukyu、そして Rukyu Corazon の選手も利用しています。ぜひ一度ご来店ください。オープン、月曜日から土曜日まで、沖縄県那覇市、オロク 1-28-30。電話番号 098-859-1890。ホームページもチェックしてみてください。www.sanso-atac.com www.sanso-atac.com 英語、ポルトガル語、スペイン語、日本語が話せるスタッフがいます。
Cincy, I got some of your old pictures here. That album I made you too. You know what that picture is?
It's funny to look at these old pictures here. It's in Chicago, and I say.
Looks like you about to spin, do something on that gut, poor guy.
That was Ray Cooper, my guy. I think that was in D.C. Yeah, I was moving, me and Ray Cooper. Where'd you get these at?
That's that album I made you. Mr. Amy,
that's one of your pictures. Oh, so yeah. Scan them for you.
Zoom in on it too with the fingers and stuff.
Okay. It looks like you're about ready to hit him with that left back kick or something. Which one? Sure looks like it.
Or Ed Parker right there.
Ed Parker.
Yeah, California. Referee. I don't know. That was a long time ago though.
Did you win the match?
I don't remember.
Handful of pictures like that. Most of them are, blurry. So they're real fast.
And like an average.
But a handful of them, you just figured the guy in the black gi who was the white
guy.
Who's
that look like?
Where at?
That guy right down there.
I don't know. Who is it?
Almost looks like Yarnell from here.
Might be. It looks like Yarnell.
That guy right there?
I believe that is Yarnell. That's Ed Parker right over here.
What else you got? Look at that. Look at that arm coming around.
Yeah.
That looks to me like it's coming this way.
What?
Like there's a left back kick coming in at that guy. Spin kick.
Can't really tell much of what the other guy's doing.
Did I hit him?
Looks like he's running.
Sure doesn't know. It sure doesn't look like he knows what's about to happen.
Yeah.
Looking like it's going to hit him with a spinning hammer fist or something. Talking about that one?
Yeah. It looks like it's going this way. Like you're coming around.
No pattern. Anyway.
Coming around now?
Yeah.
That might be.
I think that's him about to count his kick and about to take him down.
Mm-hmm.
That's Ray Cooper, and I grabbed him behind the back and punched him in the snout. See what I'm doing?
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing. I was here and I grabbed him with my left hand around the back and caught him in the stomach and his head part.
Well, he was thrown around house, it looks like.
So I crowded it.
Yeah.
You just move your finger to the side to see the next one.
That's a cool looking building with the rafters and stuff.
No brick walls.
Yeah, it's all kind of shaky there.
Some of them are blurry.
And it moves into a different era there, too.
That looks like some kind of jump kick there.
That's the back of the dojo there in Phoenix.
Who's that?
That old guy worked out for forever and ever, and he just never quit. That's pretty neat. Oh, that's in my dojo.
Which one? You've been a bunch.
I was in Michigan.
Okay.
67.
That would have been where he met 67. Mr. Awan.
April.
Oh.
Rapids.
April 67. You know what that is?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where you met the Awad brothers, or they started coming up to work out with you.
Right. Yeah, they were. It's the old Peoria Dojo there on Main Street.
There's a picture just like that, yeah, and there's a point, arrow pointing to the figure on the left, and it says Sensei McLean.
1963.
Yeah.
And who's that, you know, remember?
That one of the students, he was tough.
Somebody going down.
That's Artis Goldman there, I see. That was one of my dojos. No, that was the next one.
1,000 pictures.
Bob Bowles out there.
Which one?
Bob Bowles, Parker Sheldon.
Parker Sheldon.
Yeah, Parker, right?
Oh.
What year was that?
That's on a... It's not
sure. No, it was not marked, don't think.
It's like 70s, because they had the safety punches on. Safety kicks.
Yeah, what is it?
Some ring fight. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I think that those pictures are of a Ralph Scott boxing match, I think.
Yeah, the gentleman in the blue jeans on the front there, I think that's Mr. Shelton. And yes, there's other pictures in that same event.
Here, it says somewhere in a mall.
It's a demo.
Demo.
It's one of Jim Kennedy's.
USKA.
Yeah, that's me. That right there is
Mr.
Duffy.
That's Jim Mr. Duffy. Duffy's test, one of his tests or something.
Oh, it is? Yellow,
yeah.
Where was that at?
Peoria.
With a rebel flag on the wall? Yeah.
That's the dojo where Mr. Duffy started.
In Sunnyland.
I put the rebel flag up there.
Oh, that's your Sunnyland dojo.
Yeah.
You know that was never over there.
That dojo was right up the street from where I grew up.
Yeah, there's a bunch of kids, all them kids. Tex Cobb working bag in the dojo.
Is that Mr. Patterson's dojo?
Yeah.
Is that him?
No, that's one of his students.
One of the students.
And I was going through there and I was looking for a dojo and found it and went over there and he watched me work out and he says, here's your dojo. I'm serious.
Really?
Yeah.
So you just took over?
Yeah. I was going up to Mac Mellville to see some people. And of course, there weren't many dojos around then. He was Cecil Patterson. He was. That's pretty good.
Were you close with Mr. Patterson, Sensei?
Hmm?
Were you pretty close with him?
Yeah, I lived in his home for 2-3 years.
Yeah. What was he like?
Real nice guy. He worked for the Alcohol Beverage Commission, used to raid steals,
mm-hmm.
all that stuff.
And he was here in...
Yeah, he's Eric and them's teacher, essentially. He passed away a little while ago.
So he was a... Not Ishinru. He was
Wateroo
guy.
He's the head of the United States Eastern Wateroo Federation. And when the Wateroo guys in Japan split from Otsuka, from the founder, mm-hmm. he stayed with him. Mm-hmm. So... Do you know which dojo that is, Sensei?
It's Cecil. It was up on that.
That was Mr. Patterson's dojo too.
Yeah. Well, then it became mine.
Then it became your dojo.
Yeah.
Sure.
So if he was doing Wateroo, you at the time it's probably still called what? Shorei.
Kaju-kenpo.
Or Kaju-kenpo.
Kaju-kenpo, yeah.
Sensei's got a certificate in Wateroo.
Was the style thing a big deal? It's like, you're this style and I'm that style, we can't work out together, or was it a little bit more cooperative at that time?
Well, at that time, you just, wherever you could go to pick up any kind of knowledge, that's what you did.
Okay. So there's quite a bit of cross-training between... Is it only the karate guys or taekwondo guys or
no judo taekwondo or? All them guys, they wouldn't go outside of their deal,
outside of their style.
They'd get shit beat up. Yeah,
but the judo, you would, I think maybe you'd work some judo before, and wasn't there judo taught in Mr. Keppel's school in Peoria for a long time?
I think so. Yeah, I started there, judo there. Under this guy from Chicago.
Did he come down and teach from Chicago, or was he living in Peoria?
Yeah, he was living in Peoria at the time. He was a salesman.
Okay.
Was that Bernie Chalfin? Well, you learned some Bernie judo. Chalfin. Did you learn judo or jiu-jitsu from him?
Bernie Chalfin, yeah.
Bernie Chalfin.
And I actually started jiu-jitsu under a guy named Doug Crowe.
Douglas, yes, sir.
You hear that name?
I know the name.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's probably not the same kind of jiu-jitsu as you're doing now.
Different, yeah, yeah.
So was it competition-based, or was it more just joint lock, self-defense?
So, yeah.
Self-defense, basically.
Okay.
But not so much wrestling around the ground back then? Or
no.
That's all for this week's show. Thanks to Sensei James McLean and the James McLean Kosho School of Karate in Nashville for letting Sensei Hammond and I visit, and especially Neil Stinson, who was always able to arrange some top-notch accommodations. To find out more about James McLean's Kosho School of Karate in Nashville, visit www.koshokarate.wordpress.com or check out their page on Facebook. To find out more about the Kosho School of Karate in Cincinnati, Ohio, Sensei David Hammond, and the upcoming seminar with Sensei Chosho Fukuhara, visit www.koshoschoolofkarate.com. Call 513-510-3844, email koshoschoolofkarate@gmail.com, or visit the school's page on Facebook. Nihei de biru and mata ya. Hey everyone, like the show? Enjoy hearing interviews with martial artists from around the world? Then share it with a friend, family member, co-worker, everyone at your dojo, your fellow karateka. You can find new episodes every Sunday at choptalk.podbean.com. That's choptalk.podbean.com. And don't forget to like the show on Facebook. Thanks.